Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 38. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. So, we wanted to do another Best Picture show. Not to be the last Best Picture show.
Hopefully not.
Another one. Recently on our, what's been outed as kind of our idea, scratch pad, the thread, it kind of came up that 1975 may have been the best picture year ever, and then 76 entered the conversation, and then when you and I were kind of talking about, okay, well, let's do a conversation about those 2 years, we started looking at 1974, too. So the best picture nominees for the years of 1974, 1975, and 1976, it's kind of hard to look at those three lineups and determine which is the best group of movies. So let's just talk about all three. Towards the end, maybe we can, you know, pick our favorites, but I think it's going to be tough.
This is it's really difficult to choose between those three, but I have done so, and it all goes back to my opinion. Is what it all is, because with the 75 and 76, depending on like who you are, both of those years could have all four star movies.
Right.
How I was able to differentiate.
Yeah, and now there are some that I haven't seen. So let's first go through the lineup that I assume you have in front of you. I should have asked. Okay, cool. So the Best Picture, the Academy Awards in 1975, for the year of 1974. The winner was Godfather Part II, I think. And then what were the other nominees?
So Godfather Part II was a winner. So you got Chinatown, The Conversation, which is another Francis Ford Coppola movie, a movie called Lenny, and The Towering Inferno.
Okay.
So
for the Academy Awards 1976, for the year 1975, I already forgot what won Best Picture. I know Jaws was in the mix that year, but what else was that year?
Yeah, so the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest won Best Picture.
Right.
And you've got Jaws, Dog Day Afternoon, which is a Work With Me Here, Cindy Lou Met film.
Yes.
And you've got Nashville and Barry Lyndon.
Right. Okay, and then for Academy Awards 1977, for the year of 1976, Rocky won, and it had stiff competition from the other nominees, which were
All the President's Men, Bound for Glory, Network, which is a Sidney Lumet film,
right,
and Taxi Driver.
Yeah. So in those 3 years, we've got several films from Lumet, several films from Francis Ford Coppola, a Scorsese, a Kubrick, an Altman, if that means anything to you, a Spielberg, an Alvitson. So you've got all these great filmmakers in that grouping, and these just ridiculously high quality groupings. And it's almost like a punchline, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really just kind of ridiculous how just in these 3 years so many good movies, because even the early 70s weren't as strong. You know, kind of cinema changed at the latter mid to late 60s. You begin to see, you know, different kinds of movies. But that's almost 10 years later. We have this just gauntlet of really great movies.
Right. And successful movies too. You know, you've got The Godfather and you've got Jaws. You know, this was the culture. It wasn't just that these were the movies that critics responded to, that these were the movies that the American people responded to, you know, Rocky, movies like that. So it really is interesting. So you've seen all of these, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I've seen many of them, probably most of them. I haven't seen Bound for Glory. I haven't seen Lenny. Is that with Dustin Hoffman? Is that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen The Towering Inferno. You know, stop me when I get... I mean, are those essential viewings? Have I really missed something with those?
Well, and that's the kind of... That's how I differentiate when I decide which year is better than the other. For instance, Towering Inferno, that's the year 74, so let's just go with that one.
Sure.
There was the movie Airplane, obviously. Yeah. It's sort of a parody on these disaster movies. Well, that didn't mean anything to me until, like, you know, 2000, you know, The Day After Tomorrow and all that stuff came out. But there was a period of time where disaster movies were, like, all the rage in, like, the early 70s.
Yeah,
Earthquake. There was a couple of, like, airport.
Right.
The Towering Inferno was one where this huge skyscraper, some small fire, and the way it was built, this small little spark caused the whole building to catch on fire. It was loaded with great actors and actresses. The effects are totally dated. But I was talking to my mom about this movie, and she remembers really being into it and it being like a huge deal back then. But for me now, when I watch, when I watch these movies, I'm trying to pull it back up. Sorry. So you got The Godfather 2, I mean, Chinatown, The Conversation, and then you watch Towering Inferno, which is what I did. I tried to watch them all together. It does not work very well. And that's not fair to that movie, but, you know, hey.
It's kind of like it's the pop culture pick almost. It's the Avatar, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, it's very much of the time. It doesn't really apply to today at all. And for Lenny, that's directed by Bob Fosse. Yeah, so when you think of Bob Fosse and you think of the other Godfather movie with Francis Ford Coppola, like Bob Fosse, I think... one director, is that correct? That year over The Godfather? 72?
Yeah, I'm not
sure. The Cabaret?
Yeah, okay, maybe. I don't know.
Let me just scroll real quick. Yeah, okay, so The Godfather won in 72, but Bob Fosse won for director. I'm just trying to verify real quick. Yeah, he won for director for Cabaret, which... I'm not a big Bob Fosse. As a director, I'm not a Bob Fosse fan. I don't really like any of his movies. All that jazz, really didn't like. And Lenny, Dustin Hoffman's performance was, like, spectacular. And I think the movie's a decent job of taking the biopic and putting a little twist on it. But that character wasn't very likable. You know, the guy wasn't very likable. So, and all that really affects me when I'm trying to say which year is better. So that's how I was able to say 1974 may not be as good as the others, just because we're looking at only five movies. And Godfather 2 is better than any of these other movies, except for maybe Jaws, you know. But
there's another conversation right there. Is what's the best out of all of these. That's a tough conversation to have.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll set one for later.
If I had to pick, it's tough. I mean, a lot of these are kind of in my top 100 movies of all time. You know, you've got Network and, you know, and, but I think I've got it, man, I think I've got to go with Jaws. It's just so fresh in my mind. And that might be one of my, you know, 10 favorite movies of all time. So the fact that it didn't win that year, I respect One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I almost called it Once Upon a Time in the Cuckoo's Nest. I respect that movie, and I like that movie, but when you hold it up to Jaws in terms of, like, these machines of cinema and of movie storytelling, it's tough. And then, of course, once you start comparing The Godfather to Jaws, it's almost a pointless effort.
When you take single movies from these years and apply them to and compare them to other movies from the different year, it's you're right. It's a completely different conversation, and you'll get a different result probably. But if you're looking at 1975 right now, Cuckoo's Nest did win, and that's one of those where I think while you're watching it, you're just, man, this movie is absolutely nuts. It is incredible, but then you don't feel that way, a year and a half after you've seen it,
Yeah.
It's
that Milos Forman, he's so great with characters, but he's not necessarily the form guy. He's not the guy that you go to for, a style or a technical approach or anything. I mean, he's 100% about character and place, so he makes great films, but they're not necessarily those kind of, for me, they're not the transcendent films. So was there anything in the 75 nominees that you didn't like?
Yeah, so this is what I was saying about depending on the person, you could have every movie is 4 stars. And indeed it is. You look at, with the exception of one, and I think you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you watch Cuckoo's Nest, then you watch Dog Day Afternoon, which is, the script is just outstanding.
Yeah.
And the performances.
Yeah.
And then Jaws, which is, anybody that's going to watch Jaws for the first time, that's going to be one of your standout movie watching moments of your life.
Yeah.
Just get ready. So then that's just an insane experience altogether. And Nashville, while it's definitely an odd movie to kind of grasp, I think, if you're just kind of watching it, if you've got no real connection to it, you just want to watch it. There's no doubting that it's a great film technically. And then you put on Barry Lyndon, and you're bored out of your mind. And I'm very on my anti Barry Lyndon, but here's the thing. Is that I'll probably never not watch it. If somebody says, hey, Cody, you want to watch Barry Lyndon? I'll probably always be like, hey, yeah, let's watch it, which is weird because you usually don't watch movies you don't like. But Stanley Kubrick is one of my favorite directors of all time. And you can watch Barry Lyndon and some of the, the photography, and some
it's insane.
Technical.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
The technical merits of that movie. He used, NASA lenses to get a f-stop, low enough to shoot by candlelight. He's just doing ridiculously complex photographic things in that movie. I feel like so far Film Nerds Unlimited has, if there's like an over, like a comic book style multi issue arc, I feel like that we're all just leading up to the episode where you and Brim beef about Barry Lyndon, because that's one of his favorite movies of all time, and it's in my top 5 Kubrick, and it's great, but I'm not, I probably won't go to the mat for it, just because I haven't seen it as many times as he has, so I highly anticipate that showdown. That WrestleMania main event of Craig versus Graham over in London. It's coming.
And the thing is I don't adamantly hate it.
Right.
But it's just like, and I'll watch it any day, But yeah, I can't like it. I just cannot like it. And the first time I saw it, and I suppose some of this could be attributed to my first viewing experience, which was in the Ferg Theater. Graham might have been running the projector for all I know, but it was after, and I was in the marching band, and so it was like after a long practice, and I went with my friend, and we sat down and watched it, and it was over, and I was like, oh, thank God it's over. But the word permission popped up, and so I was infuriated. I was so angry. And then I watched, and then I sat, suffered, and just made it through. And seemingly nothing happens. It's sort of a Tom Jones-esque movie that's, if only it was as short as Tom Jones, which is long in and of itself, but
humor. There's not, like many Kubrick movies, there's not necessarily an emotional entry point, you know. The entry point is almost entirely, you know, technical or, you know, having to do with form and kind of directorial decision-making. So, honestly, going to another film this year, that's kind of how I feel about Nashville. It's a movie I respect tremendously. The balls that Altman was juggling at the same to make that thing, work. The numerous emotional arcs going on and all the fantastic performances. It's all right there, and I can't deny, the quality of it. But I just personally, Nashville does almost nothing for me. And in general, I haven't seen an awful lot of Altman, but, I just said that Jaws is one of my favorite movies of all time, so I kind of gravitate towards movies that are built like a Swiss watch, you know, and Altman does not make Swiss watches. He makes, piles of gears and parts and straps and things.
It's like a Swiss watch full of stuff that you'll never need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not tightly constructed, but masterfully so. And I'm not taking that away from him or anything like that. I'm just saying, I think that's kind of how I feel. So if I had to pick a weak one out of this grouping, it would be Nashville.
Yeah, I can totally see that, and I agree about Altman. There's just there's a complete disconnect. Like The Long Goodbye, I just despised that movie as I was watching it.
See, I'm very interested to see that because I like Inherent Vice. I love The Big Lebowski and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and those kind of, I think they're called like slacker noirs, these kind of movies where there's a case, there's a mystery, but really it doesn't matter. Really it's just it's a movie to follow along through the eyes of this kind of almost dopey lead character. And from what I understand, that's kind of the approach he takes with that.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole scene where he's talking to himself looking for like cat food in a grocery store. And it's just, my knuckles are white.
Yeah, you got stuff to do, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about a weak point in 1976? Rocky won that year. And it's the same year, if you've got Rocky versus Taxi Driver, it does seem like a tremendous amount of, cinephiles or film nerds or whatever you want to put it are gonna say that that's a populist pick over a true art film, but I don't think anybody would say that Rocky is a bad movie or even a bad Best Picture winner. So what are some lighter, if there are any in this grouping here?
Well, I guess if you want to go light, I guess you could say, Rocky is light just based on the subject matter. But as you said, when you actually watch the movie, there's absolutely no denying that it's a great movie. And it kind of speaks to the mood of the day when a movie like that's really patriotic and an underdog kind of comes back to win. Spoiler, sorry. That's what, that's the kind of movies people are into. If that happened today, you had so many people complaining that such a kind of a lighthearted movie won Best Picture. But if you want to go kind of light as far as which movies maybe aren't as good as the others, this one's a little tougher than 1975, I think, because Network is one of the first movies when I was actually getting in, realizing that I really, really liked movies. That was one of the first ones I saw that just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And Taxi Driver is kind of the same way. It's like, wow, this is a dark, challenging movie, but there are so many great things about it, and it's not without its subtle, twisted humor.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And All the President's Men, you know, I, when I was watching this movie a few years ago, I just the dialogue is so great, and it's written so smartly without too much bias on any, you know, one side, except it's the Washington Post, I believe it was, trying to nail Nixon for, you know, for some possible illegal things. But I was watching it on the anniversary of that, all when all that was going down. So it was kind of a crazy coincidence. But Bound for Glory is my weak point. Finally getting to the answer to your question.
Yeah.
That's my weak one. It's Hal Ashby. And I think Hal Ashby is one of those directors where even if you don't really personally connect or even enjoy one of his movies, there's no denying that, man, he has got his own authentic fingerprint and style.
Yeah.
That must be appreciated. You have to appreciate it. If you don't, then just get out. But
yeah,
it's a biopic on Woody Guthrie, the folk singer who like just hopped on trains, and it's, you know,
right, Bob Dylan's big influence.
Yeah. So I really got, you know, no stake in Woody Guthrie. It's hard for me to connect with somebody that doesn't want to be with his family. And again, this is a real person. So it's nothing against Hal Ashby. He's got this really grainy quality to the movie. The cinematography is great. It's just, I just couldn't really connect with it. David Carradine plays Woody Guthrie. He's great.
It seems almost like the Lenny pick, you know?
Yeah, it really
the biopic,
is.
I mean,
you know. Yeah, totally. And that's the thing. It's like 2.5 hours long. It was just kind of, it's hard for me to get through. But, you know, it's Hal Ashby. I always enjoy watching any of his movies.
Yeah, it's always a good use of time if you're a fan of film to watch a Hal Ashby movie. I think you described him really well in terms of, even if the subject matter doesn't, you know, grip you, it's still, you still need to be paying attention to what he's doing, because he just has such a unique handle on cinematic language and just filmmaking in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of the weak one for me, and it's not even all that weak. It's just that's kind of the one that I like least, and that's kind of the soft spot in that year where I can kind of compare, hey, the year to year, and say, you know, as a total, you know, if I'm basing on a 4-star thing, well, then I can kind of do some math and average it out and you know, whichever year has the highest rating. But at the same time, you got to consider, you know, these are, you know, just 5 movies from each year, you know.
Right.
So I think Network and Taxi Driver and All the President's Men I'll probably put those over Rocky. But, man, it is so tied up there. It's really close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like this year is almost like they're so grouped. They're grouped so tightly together. And, you know, I like each of these movies more than I like Nashville, you know, but I've not seen Bound for Glory. So I can't really, you know, it's hard for me to compare these because, like you said, the ones you've described as weaker, I haven't seen. So it's, for me, out of three these 3 years, the weakest movie is Nashville, and that's a great movie, you know. So it's almost a futile thing.
Yeah, totally. I was just counting. There's 15 movies in these 3 years, and I think Nashville is 11th on that list.
Yeah,
for me. So
yeah, and it's yeah. Well, the one interesting way that I'm kind of trying to look at it too is, it seems like 1974 is the only year that they really got the Best Picture winner, you know, right for me. I mean, I guess, like I said, I don't think Cuckoo's Nest or Rocky are bad movies by any means, but when you put them up against, you know, say Jaws or say Network, it's just a no contest for me.
Yeah, same here.
So it is interesting to, if you go by that metric for whatever reason, you know, I think 74 is the year, because I think out of those, for me, I say the clear winner, but God dang, I mean, I think I might actually like Chinatown more than Godfather Part II. So these movies are good.
Yeah, and that's part of why I kind of went into the whole quest in trying to see all the Best Picture nominees ever, is because I was just kind of looking and I was like, this one Best Picture, and I would watch a movie and I'd watch another movie that was nominated, and I'm like, no, this is so much better. And so my aim at the beginning was to go in and say, who should have won instead? But after a year or so of that, I just decided to watch them and just, you know, not trying to be overly opinionated, but just try to have an opinion and not try to get so offended. But Jaws is the winner, is my winner for 75, I think.
Yeah.
Network or Taxi Driver for 76. I mean, then you look at, The French Connection. I mean, that's a really, really good movie, but right. But we've seen so many like it afterwards that it inspired, that it's washed out.
Yeah. I mean, I bet you a lot of people feel that way about Rocky too. You know, I think that, I think that people ding that movie based on, you know, sports underdog movies that came out after it. Although, you know, it's totally separate from those because of the ending of it. But also, you know, that movie's sequels, that the, especially Rocky 3 and 4 are so popcorn, that people attribute that to the original Rocky. And like you mentioned, that movie is a lot more gritty and I was about to say street level. It's totally a product of the 70s. You know, it's gritty and it's raw and it's edgy in a way that you think a 70s movie would be, but it doesn't have the bite of a Network or a Taxi Driver. But I still think that it makes it a totally, palatable Best Picture winner.
Yeah, and if I could make a suggestion to anybody listening for these 3 years, that one of the great things about just trying to watch all this is that I'm seeing movies that I probably never would have seen, and that are now some of my all-time favorites. For 1974, The Conversation, it's just something that I don't know why it wasn't on my radar. I'm so glad I watched that movie.
It's great.
Oh my goodness. It's just like, and it's so just subtle, you know, and it's that, and they probably didn't market it even, right? Because that's his second, it's Coppola's second movie that year.
Yeah.
It's unheard of. I mean, I can't comprehend doing The Godfather 2 and The Conversation in the same year.
But yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then,
he was on fire. Definitely.
And I, All the President's Men from 76 is something that I wasn't ready for when I watched it. And Rocky, you know, quite frankly, I'd have to say I'm not a big boxing movie fan, although if I watch a good one, I'll like it. There's not a ton of boxing movies that I don't like. I just, that formula, you know, for me is not my cup of tea. But Rocky's so much more than the last 30 minutes of the movie. There's a lot to that movie.
Yeah, it's totally a character study. It's a study of a place. It's a crime movie in a way. Yeah, it's got a lot going on, and it's one of those movies that you hear all the time that they just don't make anymore. You know, where it's not built around the you know whatever keyword that they can pin to it. You know, it's not just merely a boxing movie the way that they might market Southpaw. You know, as just a boxing movie, and it is. It's totally a product of the 70s. I was kind of the same as you. I kind of thought I knew what I was going to get with Rocky, and then I watched it, and it's like, no, I mean, this is as much a product of its time as Taxi Driver.
Yeah, totally.
And it's crazy because, well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to kind of change the topic and say that of the three movies here that I haven't seen, Lenny, The Towering Inferno, and Bound for Glory, I was going to go see those anyway at one point or another. You know, The Towering Inferno is, for a fan of, you know, big Hollywood blockbusters like me, that's kind of the proto-Jaws, you know, that's in that category that I feel like I got to catch up with it. But then just from a filmmaker standpoint, you know, I need to watch Bob Fosse movies. I haven't seen any of his work. Eric Roberts is a huge Bob Fosse fan. So, you know, I feel like there's Bob Fosse I need to check out. And Bound for Glory, Hal Ashby is a filmmaker that of the work of his that I've seen. I haven't seen much, but I've loved all of it so far. So, you know, those are important movies in those filmmakers' careers, so I was going to check those out anyway. So that makes, you know, these 3 years with Best Picture nominees, all of which that I would consider must-see movies.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything in there that you would say, skip it? I mean, Towering Inferno sounds like you weren't crazy about it.
Well, but at the same time, you know, in the age of CGI and heavy special effects, I'm a big fan of, like, models, like actually handcrafted. When I was in London, we went to the Harry Potter studio, and coincidentally, the guy that built all the models on all the movies, and they still use models up until the end, was there, and I got to talk to him, and he had all these models were there. It was just really incredible. But on The Towering Inferno, I might watch those scenes with those obvious models and just laugh because it's like they're playing with toy trucks with like little extension things on the top, you know, like a toy fire truck with a ladder that goes up and it kind of just jiggles. But yeah, technically from a filmmaker standpoint, I wouldn't tell anyone not to watch it. Especially knowing that from my parents who are, you know, kind of, young adults at the time, that was apparently it was kind of a big deal when it came out. So it's always good to see, and that's part of why I'm doing this, is to see how times have changed for whatever reason, politically or maybe just the effects, or we have more access to the technical achievements improve to that time. But I would probably say, and I can't say anything, you know, I wouldn't shy anyone away from Hal Ashby either, but I'm just like not a Bob Fosse fan. Like if I watch some dancing he choreographed from like a Broadway musical, that they're great. That's fine. But I've seen, I think at least three of his movies, and I just can't get on board. I can't connect with it. And they're all three movies that are really highly reviewed. So
right.
I don't know. It's me. The problem's me.
But. Yeah. I mean, I like I said, he's a guy that I've always wanted to check out. So, yeah. Another thing about The Towering Inferno is that, I mean, that movie sold almost, from what I can tell, it sold almost as much on the strength of its cast as it is the effects, which is, again, something rare that you don't see nowadays. You know, you don't see a big Hollywood blockbuster, you know, with that has tremendous amounts of special effects and, you know, is a basic, you know, big dangerous thing happening, plot line. You rarely see those sold on the merits of their cast, but that was, for that time, that was as big of a deal as the effects, was getting all of these people in the same movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering now if audiences were so into it in part because you take the effects and you take the cast and then you put them together, like these horrible things are happening to all these great actors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that's at its best, that's how the movie star system works, is that you care about them not necessarily because of the context of their characters or the story, but you care about them because you feel like you know these people because they're movie stars and you don't want to see bad things happen to them.
True, very true. Also, it also a William Holden, an old William Holden in Network and The Towering Inferno.
Oh man,
Oh, yeah.
Holden is fantastic. Yeah, I mean,
And I think you can, performance-wise, it's different, obviously, when Lumet is directing you as opposed to some big budget disaster movie.
Irwin Allen. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Lumet. What a freak of nature. I mean, I would say this is in his hot streak, but I don't know, arguable that his hot streak ever really ended. But yeah, Dog Day Afternoon and Network in the same couple of years, that's incredible. And such different movies too, and and the again, they have that Taxi Driver dark comedy to them. Both movies do. And it's just one of those things that you can look at Dog Day Afternoon and Network despite being two totally different movies. Although, there's definitely, similar undertones in terms of how we as a society deal with information and communication and news and things like that. They're very different movies, but yet you can look at both of them and pull out, yeah, that's a Sidney Lumet movie.
Yeah, totally, totally. And for anyone to watch those back to back and then just sit and ponder on the fact that those are two consecutive years. And if you've read Making Movies, as I know you have, keeping that in mind as you watch those movies and then thinking about how he shoots all his movies and then thinking about how those were in a 24-month period or less, it hurts to think about. It's exhausting.
And the auditioning, I mean, not the auditioning, the rehearsing that he put into it and the way he had his cast fine-tuned and everything like that. It's a level of care that's so obvious on screen. And I don't know, man. Like, it's probably just because I'm wrapped up in the topic, but I look at the best picture crop, that we get these days, and there's a great movie here and there, but you just don't. I just don't. I'm not sure if the movies are made the same way that they were, in these cases. Now you don't feel like most of these movies were designed to win awards. They were just designed to be great movies, and now you get things like The Theory of Everything and The Intimidation Game, which I haven't seen either movie, so I really shouldn't have an opinion, but it's just you get that air of demographic to it, that they're going for the Oscar market the same way that Transformers is going, for the 12-year-old boy market. And I don't see demographics in these films. So,
In fact, it's almost like for some of these, the demographic, it's like an anti-demographic. It's like, let's see who won't come to this movie.
Network is like, let's make everybody mad. And then, oh, we won, we got nominated for an Academy Award.
And there's no way you can know things like The Conversation or is any good. Unless you go see it, I can't imagine how they would market that to sell it, especially when Godfather 2's out. So, and Dog Day, if you saw a commercial for Dog Day Afternoon, the average American citizen, would not appeal to them.
No. No, yeah, it's so specific. And I think that's, again, that's something that all of these have in common. There's this specificity to everything. That these are movies by, you know, singularly minded filmmakers about single characters, you know, or single ideas, you know, explored through character very specifically. There's no broad strokes. There's no generalizations. It's just very detailed, nitty gritty, cinematic storytelling. And none of it's boring. It's all visually, you know, engaging. It's all socially, relevant. Should we just each call it and just pick one of these years as the best picture year ever? Do you have the guts to do that?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, you go.
Oh God, I wasn't prepared for that.
Oh, I can go.
Yeah, you go. I'm going to shrink from my own challenge while you tell me yours.
It's 1975. Just because I understand that Barry Lyndon is the weak point of that year, and it's my just not liking the movie. But I love Kubrick, and I can recognize the achievement in that movie. So it's sort of, I'm able to see past just my not liking the movie. And that's what makes 75. But, you know, the more I talk about 74 and 76, it just makes it more difficult to decide.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm inclined to go with 76, despite not having seen Bound for Glory. Like I said, Network and Taxi Driver are among my favorite movies of all time. And Rocky is just like a perfectly constructed character study about that specific character. But as I say these words, then I think about, you know, the conversation, Chinatown and Godfather Part Two, which are also, you know, in my top 100 or so movies. So I don't know. I think for argument's sake, the one I've seen all the movies of, and I know for a fact there's not a bad movie in the lot, and in fact a wholly recommendable movie, every one of them. And that's 75, which also includes one of my, you know, 10 or 15 favorite films of all time, Jaws. So I think I'm going to have to go with you, agree with you, and say that 1975 is probably the best picture year ever, even though I think of the three best picture winners, Cuckoo's Nest is probably my least favorite, but it also has, it's got Jaws, you know, it's got all these great filmmakers represented, you know, it's Spielberg and Kubrick in one year. Yeah, I think I'm with you. 1975 has to be
it. Well, you've kind of sparked something here. So I think what I'm going to go do is I'm going to rate these years on several different criteria. This one that we just talked about, and that is out of four, which year had the most you could get out of four if you had all the movies. So, but then I'm going to rank where do these movies fall on my top whatever, and then I'll decide based on that way, or I'll rate them out of like 10 and do the score that way, or based on just the best picture winner, or based on just the nominees, not including the winner. So thanks for that. I have to
metrics.
I can't not do it now. So
yeah.
Okay. So I went back and I did some, as we call it, metrics. Ranking, comparing, looking at the years 1974, 75, and 76, and trying to sort of mathematically figure out what the best year was. So I did a couple of different things. I did a few different things. I took my rankings, I took each year and each movie by year and ranked each movie out of four. And then I took the kind of the average of each year that way, and the 1974 was the lowest at 83%, and 75 and 76 tied at 90%. Okay, so I did the same thing, but I ranked it out of 10, you know, just to get a little more specific, different numbers in there. Sort of the same result, 1974 was the lowest at 72%, but 1976 beat out 1975 with 83% versus 82%. So out of four, 75 and 76 tie. Out of 10, 76 wins. Okay, so then I ranked only the best picture winner out of those years. So Godfather 2, Cuckoo's Nest, and Rocky. Okay, so according to my rankings, The Godfather Part 2 is a 98%. Cuckoo's Nest, net 74. Okay, so 74 wins. 75 is Cuckoo's Nest, that's second, and 76 came in third. Okay, so out of four is a tie between 75 and 76. Out of 10, 76 wins. Based on Best Picture, 74 wins. Okay, so then I rank just the nominees, the non-Best Picture winners. And 74, again, is on the low end with 66%. 75 is 80%. And 76 is 84%. So 76 wins. Once again, that's two wins for 76 and a tie for 75 and 76 and a win for 74. So 1975 has really yet to outright win. Okay, so when I just rank each movie, all 15 movies, I rank them in and of themselves. And then I take their years and kind of average out their rankings. Interestingly enough, 74 is on the low end with 72%. 75 is 82%. And 76 wins with 83%. So 1976 has three outright wins and ties with 75 once. 75 didn't win outright at all. But when I average all those metrics together to get one overall average of the average, 1975 and 1976 tie. So I'm not sure if that was helpful at all. But we end up with a tie. So anyways, hope this helps.
Metrics.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.